You're listening to the Declare Podcast, episode number 93, and I'm your host, Ann Watson. It is a brand new year, and that means it's time to get our lives and our ministries organized for success. But let me ask you, have you ever tried setting goals and then within a few weeks have given up, forgotten about them, or gotten so distracted by something else that you never even go back and check on them? Not hitting our goals can often feel like failure, but what if I told you there was another way? In today's episode, I'm talking with Kat Lee about the habits that are going to help you reach your goals, not just in your business or ministry, but in every area of your life. We've even added a couple of bonuses that are really going to help you apply these techniques today. But before we get started, I want to give a shout out and a thank you to Laura Pettit, who left this review for us on iTunes. She said, I just started listening to the Declare podcast. The Holly Girth episode was authentic, real, and full of truth, as well as real life tips. Thank you. Thank you so much, Laura, for taking the time to share. We could not agree with you more about Holly. And your thoughts and encouragement always help us get better. Of course, we love to hear from all of you who are listening about how the podcast is inspiring and equipping you, and it couldn't even be easier. Just click on the link in the show notes wherever you are listening. Hey, let us know you're joining us today. Take a screenshot and post it to social media with the tag WeAreDeclare so we can share them on our Instagram stories. Don't forget to tag our guest and share the podcast with other influencers like you. Welcome to the Declare Podcast. The mission of Declare is to equip women to walk in their callings as Christian communicators. Our show takes you behind the scenes with successful influencers, writers, speakers, and more. Our conversations focus on their stories and their journeys to engage and grow and manage their unique influence. You'll laugh, be moved, and get practical information that you can take action on today that's going to help you feel more connected, more confident, and better able to accomplish everything God has in store for you. We know your time is valuable, and we thank you for investing it with us and for being part of the Declare community. Today's episode is brought to you by the Declare Conference. This is our annual event held in the Dallas, Texas area, and it's about 3 days full of incredible speakers, workshops, sponsors, dance parties, networking, and it's all designed for you. The theme for 2019 is Get Your Hopes Up, and we promise you're going to walk away with everything you need, including confidence, to level up in your writing, speaking, podcasting, and all-around influence. You don't want to miss this. Check out our website at weAreDeclare.com for details and grab your ticket now. Coming up on this podcast, you can look forward to me talking with some of your favorite Declare Conference speakers about prioritizing and organizing so you can get more out of your year and everything you need to make it your best year yet. We're also going to be talking to the biz maven, Crystal Payne, the money-saving mom, Emily P. Freeman, and a lot more. Don't hesitate to subscribe to the podcast at weAreDeclare.com, and you'll get each episode complete with show notes directly in your inbox, and you will make sure that you don't miss out. In our last episode, I got to talk with Chantel Brewer. Chantel is not only the author of the newly released book, Missionary Mom, she's also in the FBI and recently auditioned for The Voice. We talk about why it's biblical to take naps, what we need to prove to the enemy, and why digital evangelists have a greater role than they think. You're also not going to want to miss the last part of our conversation because Chantel shares her extremely practical method of preparing to write a book. That is episode number 92, so make sure you add that to your queue. But today we are on episode 93 with Kat Lee. Kat is the author of the book Hello Mornings and is basically a legend within the Declare community. She is a frequent conference speaker and podcast guest, and in my opinion, an expert in organization and getting things done. I've got the links to her other episodes in the show notes so you can discover, if you haven't already, why we flip and love Kat Lee. But today we are talking about why goal setting isn't a one-size-fits-all game and how you can adjust your approach in a way that truly brings you positive results. We talk about crafting a life mission statement, the one thing you need to do every day, and we even touch on how you can eat 40% less candy. So if you're ready, let's go ahead and get started with our conversation with Kat Lee. Hey, Kat, welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited that you're here and about what we're going to talk about today. And just thank you so much for joining me.
And it is always so much fun to chat with you. So I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, I'm, again, so excited you're here. But I think there may be a couple people listening that have not yet had the pleasure of meeting you. So I was wondering if we could just start by you taking a minute and telling us a little bit about what you do, maybe your family, your story.
Absolutely. So my name is Kat Lee, and I run HelloMornings.org. It's a website dedicated to helping women build a life-giving morning routine centered around Jesus, but it's not specifically about Bible studies. It's really about building habits that are going to change our lives and help us to follow Jesus and really orient every moment of our day towards following him and just having everything kind of be in sync. So we have a community over there, and we're starting up an academy membership, which has been pretty fun. And I live in Waco, Texas, and I've been married to my husband, Jimmy, for 20 years, and we have three kids. I have a 16-year-old who's leaving for college after next year, so there's that. And then a 14-year-old and a 11-year-old and a dog. And that's pretty much us. Both my husband and I work from home, so that's kind of fun. And just really, you know, I'm in my 40s, and it's just a sweet season of really recognizing and narrowing in on what is actually important to me and what is actually life-giving and what I'm actually good at, and learning to stop wasting my time on all the other stuff, all the shoulds or woulds or coulds, but focusing on the things that God made me to do.
Oh, you have no idea how much I love that. Stop wasting time, because I feel like, especially as communicators, so much of the time we're doing things that feel like we're just spinning our wheels and not really getting anywhere. And I feel like if that ever happened to you, and it probably has, then you were like, how can I fix this or improve this? And one of the things, you were a speaker at Declare this past year, and you brought with you a really, really cool way to organize a content calendar for an entire year. And it's something that was so easy and yet so not easy for the most of us,
right,
until you showed us how to do it. And that is one of my favorite things about you, is that you can put a plan or a structure around an idea that makes things that weren't accessible before accessible to us.
You know, and that's honestly one of my favorite things to do. You know, when you watch sports on TV or whatever, they make the thing that they're doing, whether it's tennis or football, they make it look so easy. So you're like, I could totally throw a football like that. I just watched an entire football game. I could do that. He makes it look so easy. But it's just all the repetition and all the work that they put in ahead of time that makes it look simple. And for that talk in particular, I had an idea of what I wanted to do. But then as I really fleshed it out in a way that I could communicate it easily and succinctly, it took so much work. And so then by the time I actually got to the event, I was like, is this too simple? But it was amazing just the response that I got from it. And really, that's kind of what I was talking about earlier, just fleshing things down to the very most basic, essential things. And it just brings so much simplicity into what we do every day.
Oh, well, you could look around the room at that event and just see minds exploding everywhere. Like, we were all like, wow, this is so great. I mean, you can plan an entire year of content in about 20 minutes. And, you know, if you're focused on it. And so that is something, actually, we're going to go ahead and put a link to the show notes to the template that you used for creating that content calendar, because it is such a gift to us communicators, and you want to make that available to women. And so do we. So we're going to put that link in our show notes. But the reason that I asked you to come on the show today is because I wanted to talk to you about some goal setting. It is a new year, and like, we have seen a ton of different goal planners that have all come out on the market. You know, they're expensive and they make all kinds of promises. And I myself have invested, I don't even know how much money over the years, in buying these planners. And yet I still find goal setting to be such a challenge. I don't know if it's because I'm a little bit more creative brained than I am structured or what, but the goal setting that gets put in front of me doesn't always work for me. And so I thought it would be cool if we could just sort of talk about that, talk about trends in goal setting and, you know, how do you do it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the funny thing about goal setting is that more often than not, the people teaching about goal setting are the people for whom goal setting comes naturally and easily. Maybe
more
type A people, CPA type people, as opposed to free thinkers and creative oriented people. And so then the solution that they give becomes this very structured thing that then feels confining to the creative person. And it just can get kind of overwhelming sometimes. Like, what is it? David Allen's getting things done system. To me, it's like looking at an IKEA instruction manual or a Lego instruction manual. Like my son got Lego. He saved up for this amazing Lego set the other day. And he's like, Mom, look at this instruction manual. I was like, just you saying that exhausts me. That is not, I don't want to look at an instruction manual. And I can be the same way about complex goal setting. And again, like I was saying earlier, it's just come down to me understanding what works for me. And I think that's the thing. As we look at different goal setting things, we need to be honest. This gives me life. This doesn't give me life. This inspires me. This doesn't inspire me. And just continually reevaluating and weeding out the methods or planners or whatever that are going to work for you and not work for you. Because honestly, there probably isn't a planner out there that's going to be perfect for everybody because we're all different. And it might not, there might not even be one out there that's perfect for you unless you created it. So it's just a matter of figuring out what to keep and what to spit out.
Well, it's so funny that you say that because a friend of mine just posted on Instagram, I think, she had a picture of something like 6 different planners. And her post was about how she bought a different planner for each area of her life. And oh. I mean, she was excited about this. She was like, I've got this one for my blog and this one for my ministry and this one for my family. And I was thinking that just looks exhausting keeping 6 different planners and expensive. You know, I just thought there's got to be a better way, but you're right. There isn't really one catch all thing out there for the way everybody can goal plan. And what I like what you just said is you were talking about understanding what works for us. I think part of that is giving ourselves permission to throw out the things that don't work.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, for that friend, maybe that's perfect for that friend. Maybe she really thrives on having that level of detail and accountability. And maybe she'll actually open those, each one of those notebooks again come February. I call February the month where New Year's resolutions go to die. So, you know, maybe she's the sort of person who's going to keep using those, and that's great. But ultimately, it comes down to figuring out what works for us and what doesn't work for us. And I think the most basic element of goal setting that works for everyone is simply having some sort of vision for your life. So my husband and I got, my sister-in-law gave us a slack line for Christmas. You know, it's like, I don't even know what you call it, like a little nylon. It's not a rope, but it's like a flat rope thing. And you basically tightrope. What is it called? Tightrope walking. And so you tie it to one tree and then to another tree. And it's like a flat little nylon 2-inch wide.
This sounds awful. Thing. Is this fun?
Yeah, it's totally fun. And so it's like 2 inches wide. It's a nylon ropey thing. But it's 2 inches wide and it's flat. So anyway, you stand on it and so, you know, it's bouncing, it's shaking, it bounces up and down. And so you're basically just trying to walk on it as far as you can. And it's kind of fun. It's a little bit elastic. So like my kids like playing on it because you can jump and bounce on it. But it's a fun challenge to just have the core strength and balance of walking on this bouncy, shaky, thin thing that's tied between 2 trees. So the interesting thing is that when we first started doing it, was we would start walking on it and I was looking down at my feet the whole time because I thought, okay, I've got to make sure I place my feet correctly so I don't fall off. But then we started watching some videos on how to slackline. And the core thing that they said was, do not look at your feet. Do not look down. Look at a point far ahead of you. So not even the tree that it's tied to, but maybe a tree beyond that or the horizon or whatever. And when I did that, I was able to walk twice as far as I was able to when I was looking down at my feet. And I felt like that was such a great analogy for goal setting. When we get too into the weeds about the specifics of everything, then we don't go as far because we feel like, oh, I failed, or, you know, we're just in the weeds of it. But if we have that long-term vision just to start with, and then we can back it up from there, we're going to go so much farther than if we're just constantly in the weeds of these super intense goals with 6 different planners.
Oh my gosh. I love this analogy with your flat nylon ropey thing. Because I feel like what you were saying is that when you were looking down at your feet, not necessarily you, but anybody that would be doing this, when you were looking at your feet, you were concerned about how am I doing? And when you were looking up at a point in the distance, you were thinking, where am I going?
Right.
And I think that's such a good distinction for what the true value of goal setting is, you know, where are you going? And then not getting stuck in the how am I doing?
And it gives you that steady point in the future so that if I feel a little bit off balance in the moment, I'm not focusing on the fact that right now the little ropey thing is swaying back and forth because I'm looking at it. I'm focusing on that steady point in the horizon that I'm walking towards, and I can ignore the fact that the rope is swaying. And because I'm doing that, then I can actually keep going. So just having that. So for me, that means I have a life mission statement. And that is my kind of permanent goal. So regardless if I set goals for the year or the quarter or whatever, I have this life mission statement. And so that keeps me always moving forward, no matter how, you know, focused on goal setting I am in the season or not. I have that always before me as my ultimate goal.
Okay, so then let's talk about life mission statements because, well, first I have to ask you, did you come out of the womb organized?
No, I'm not even an organized person, actually. I think I came out as a passionate person.
And
I've learned that the only way to move forward is to have some vision and a plan. Whatever that looks like, however detailed that might be with goals and to-do lists, that's the only way that I'm able to really move forward. If I'm passive about life, then I'm not going to make the progress that I want to make. But if I have vision and a plan for it, then I will. So I forced myself to figure out what of the type A personality do I need to adopt and learn in a way that I enjoy that'll help me move forward rather than just being like, oh, I'm just a creative person who just likes to think freely. So definitely did not come out like that. I'm very loosey-goosey on it, but I have these general boundaries that help me to keep moving forward.
I love that. You're basically forcing yourself to find what you enjoy. So back, though, to the life mission statement, I'm guessing that you haven't had that since you could write for the first time, that at some point in your life, you met a conflict or something that gave you this idea, I need to change the way I'm doing things. What's the story there? Like, what prompted you to write a life mission statement?
Well, you know, I think honestly, having children and really growing in my relationship with the Lord, because I was like, okay, well, God, you created me for a purpose. There are people that you want me to influence. There are things you want me to do, places you want me to go. I want to just align my life to work towards that. I want that to be that end vision that I'm looking at, that I'm always walking towards. And I don't know what that is because you're God and I'm not, but I feel like these certain elements of my mission statement are true to what you've called me to be and how you've made me. So, you know, I wrote these down so I can continue walking in the general direction that I think he's going. And then I'm just listening to him every day to give me the promptings and the direction changes that I need to walk with him. So, you know, really just having kids and wanting to live in his will as much as I can, inspired it because, you know, Myers-Briggs, I'm an ENFP. I have a million ideas in a minute. And if I drink coffee, it's like 10 million.
Yes, same.
So either I'm just going to be totally out there running 100 different directions, doing a million different things. Like when I was little, I used to tell people I wanted to be a professional tennis player who was also a figure skater who opened for Amy Grant.
I love it.
So I wanted to do a lot of things. Obviously, I could not focus on all of those. You know, Bo Jackson, one of the few people who could, you know, be great in two things. I'm not Bo Jackson. So I need to figure out what, you know, what focus am I going to have? And that mission statement has helped me to kind of hone in.
Okay. So then do you have your life mission statement? Could you share it off the top of your head?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I have it in front of me. So I want to clarify that I'm not quoting it. I don't like have it memorized.
Oh, that's okay.
I do have it in a note, and I've had it in notebooks. I try to review it, honestly, every day. So it's divided into four parts, and this has evolved over the years. So take that as a note.
Okay.
So it has four parts: faith, family, fitness, and focus. And focus is kind of meaning like work. So my faith mission statement is that I live each day abiding more and more in God's presence, word, and calling. I pray throughout the day with expectation, and I'm hiding his word in my heart by memorizing scripture. Then my family mission statement is that I have very strong relationships with Jimmy and each of the children, and each relationship is thriving. I pray consistently and specifically for them and follow up on prayer requests. And then my fitness mission statement is I am fit, well-nourished, and well-rested, so I'm full of energy for my calling. And then my focus mission statement is I am prepared for and consistent with my work. I have clear, attainable goals and work with clear focus, and I build on effective habits. So those are just the general phrases. And another thing that's really important to me is that I write all of those in present tense because you notice it didn't say I want to or I hope to or I will. It says that I live, I have, I am, because it's kind of like a daily accountability to myself as I'm reading that. Is this true in me? Is it not true in me? Where is that discrepancy and what can I do about it? So it's just a little thing that inspires me and keeps me moving forward to phrase it in the present tense.
I wish you lived next door. I need more of that in my life. I think that is so, so good. But it does make me think of a question, which is, so that is your life mission statement, which is beautiful. Do you then have other mission statements? Like, do you have a mission statement, say, for Hello Mornings?
You know what? I mean, we have a general vision of who we are. We help women build life-giving, grace-filled morning routines. Not so much a mission statement. I think I can handle so many mission statements.
Right.
What I do have with each of those areas, I then also have, you know, like in business, there's a phrase called key performance indicators. So if you're doing a marketing campaign or something, there are key performance indicators of how many new email subscribers are you getting? How many of those are transitioning into customers? How many of those are upgrading to, you know, special consulting calls, whatever. So this phrase, key performance indicator, KPI, it's just like this kind of checkpoint of, am I matching up with my long-term goals? So that's just an explanation of KPI. But I use that phrase in my mission statement. So the note that I have, it has the faith section, the family section, the fitness section, and the focus section. And it has all those statements that I read. But then there's just like three key performance indicators for each area that I also read through each day. And by read through, I mean I'm glancing at because I put it above my to-do list. So I kind of have to see it before I can get to today's tasks. And so those key performance indicators are just like the things that I feel like have the most value to move me towards those missions that I just try to do on a daily basis.
I love that. The most value to move you toward those missions. That's so great. So I want to actually take a little bit of a sidebar here because your family mission statement, your life mission statement is this kind of overarching thing. And then you have your key performance indicators, but then like anything, there's always tasks to do. And there are things that need to get done so that you can, you know, live in that state that you're aiming for. So how do you determine what your goals are and setting them? And then how do you follow through with them?
So in those key performance indicators, there are a few things that I feel like, okay, these are the most important things that I could do. So I list those things out. So for my faith, it's daily prayer or a daily prayer walk. Just I'm trying to combine the fitness and faith in that one. But
okay, so that's allowed. Good to know.
Yeah. Or scripture memory, Bible study. For my family, it's daily appreciation of my family members, daily affection, daily conflict resolution. So I have those key performance indicators, and then I kind of just build out my goals from there. So if these three things, so I'll take something sort of simple and measurable. Fitness. My key performance indicators are daily 7 hours of rest, reviewing what I'm eating and drinking, and strength training of some sort. So I feel like those are the most important things, more than going for a run, more than, you know, doing some big paleo thing or whatever, just monitoring those three things are the most important things. So then if I know those are the core things that I could do, then what goals can I set from that? As opposed to, okay, I feel like I should eat fewer carbs, so I'm going to do this big, you know, carb-free thing, which might be fine, but making sure that everything lines up with that mission statement fundamentally really helps me make sure that I know that I'm on track and I'm not just following kind of the latest fad thing. So more for bloggers and stuff, I guess. One really helpful thing that I learned was, as you look at kind of the things that you need to do on a daily basis, there's three areas that you could work on: money, marketing, and maintenance. I think it was Jenny from the Biz Maven that shared this. And so I actually have all the tasks that I think of that I need to do for Hello Mornings, I divide into those categories. It either is going to directly make money, it's going to be a marketing tool, or it's like maintenance that I need to do. So just as I think of things, I put them in there. And then I look at each one. I'm like, okay, what's the most impactful thing I can do today? And I try to do them in that order: making money, then marketing, then maintenance. Obviously, just to clarify for people who don't know me, it's not like money is my most important thing. It's actually the thing I struggle with because I'm not motivated that way. That's why I have it first. So just FYI.
Well, I love that you said that, because I do think that money gets kind of a bad rap, that somehow I think maybe especially as Christians, we feel like there's something icky or just not good about earning some money. But my husband has a saying, no money, no mission.
Yeah, very good. I like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have to make at least enough money to cover the expenses of what we're doing, or we can't do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so exactly. I love that you put your focus there, especially because you said that it's probably the thing that motivates you the least. So you put the hard thing first and get it out of the way, which I think a lot of people procrastinate it. They put it to the end and then they ultimately probably never get to it. Or maybe that's just me.
No, I totally do the same thing. So then basically I have two lists. I have my mission statement with my key performance indicators, and then I have the tasks that I need to do. And basically, I kind of set goals just by bridging the gap between those two things. How can I reach that mission statement? How can I increase my investment in those key performance indicators? You know, so if one of them was scripture memory, then I set a goal about memorizing a certain chapter of the Bible. Or if one of those goals was improving how I eat and drink, maybe it's tracking my macros and drinking 64 ounces of water today or whatever. I try not to pull out goals that didn't come from either the list of things that I need to do or the things that I want to be. Because so often I think we get so much input and ideas from people of things that we should do, especially in the blog world. You know, all the social media things that we should do or could do or the next great thing. I think it's important instead to kind of figure out where you want to go, what you actually have to do, and try to make those meet up instead of running after all the little bunny trails that come before us or pop into our inbox.
Well, and you know, in today's world with our cell phones and everything going on, it's so easy to get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk to you a little bit about some goal setting, just because you were talking about how we get a lot of input. And I have this one notebook that I use. I, you know, get a notebook a year. And then for that year, anytime I do any kind of training or learn something from a podcast or whatever, I jot it down in that notebook, like anything I want to remember. And I was going back through that notebook recently, because I do that at the beginning of the year, and there was at least three or four times throughout the year that I wrote down something about SMART goals, which is that SMART is the acronym for sustainable and actionable and, you know, all of those things. I can't even remember what they are, because clearly SMART goals aren't working for me. So when you and I were kind of chatting about that a little bit, you said that you kind of prefer to focus on habits. And It kind of blew my mind and I loved it. And I'm wondering if you can just explain what you meant by that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a ton of validity to the idea of SMART goals. It's specific, measurable, I think attainable, relatable, and then time sensitive or something.
Okay, now you're just showing off. All right.
So, you know, I think there's definitely value to setting goals that have a certain outline that you can reach and all of that. However, sometimes we set the wrong goals. Like if we don't really know what we want, if we don't really know where we're going, we just set these arbitrary goals. So that's kind of why I talk about focusing on the habit. I know my ultimate mission. I know where I'm ultimately headed, that thing on the horizon that I want to go to. So then what are the little things that I can do every day that are going to move me forward? Maybe it's not some big goal that I'm going to attain, but what are just the little habits? And that's those key performance indicators. Going on a prayer walk every day, memorizing scripture or just quoting it in my head every day, or writing for 15 minutes every day. Whatever those little things are that can move me forward, focusing on those habits. There was a coach, John Wooden. He was the coach, basketball coach of UCLA. And he is, as far as I know, still the winningest coach in college basketball history. But the thing is he never focused on winning with his players. Like, he never said, okay, you have to win this game. It's all about winning. Instead, he was all about process, because, you know, he would say to his players, you can't control what the refs do. You can't control what the other team does. All you can control is how you go out and work every single day, how you review game film, how you prepare. We want to focus on the process. And so he did that with his players. And like I said, is one of the winningest coaches in basketball history. And I love that concept, because sometimes we set goals that are out of our control. Nobody knows how to, you know, make the New York Times bestsellers list guaranteed. There's right. ways, but nobody knows a guaranteed how to do it. So what are the goals and things that I can do? And what's the process I can make to get me, you know, to a great selling book or whatever my goal might be? But what's the daily process that I can do every single day that's just going to keep me moving forward?
I like that. I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that when you're focused on the process, that actually leaves a little bit of room for when you get distracted or something goes off course, like you get a call from your kid's school that they're not feeling well or whatever that is, that if you're experiencing interruptions or distractions, that it's not throwing you completely out of whack because you're more focused on the process than you are the task.
Exactly. Yeah, because then you can't really fail at any point, because every day is a brand new, fresh start, you know. And if you have simple enough daily goals, like writing for 15 minutes, you could have totally blown your whole day watching Netflix. But if you write your thing at the end of the 15 minutes and score, you know, right before bed, you write that right before bed, then that's great. It's not like you can fall behind. And I think a lot of times that guilt is what keeps us from then looking at our goals and remembering our goals. And so then we give up on our goals.
Right. When
we have that habit and we focus just on doing that thing every day, however good, however bad, then we can keep moving forward instead of reaching for some big goal that we fall behind on reaching. And then we're like, oh, I'm embarrassed. Oh, I feel discouraged. I'm just going to stop working towards it.
Okay. Well, I love that you brought that up, because I think what that demonstrates or highlights is that there is a significant emotional part of setting goals. And I think we all want to take sort of a logical approach, but say we do that and then we don't write for 15 minutes in the one day. I think especially as women, we have a tendency to sort of beat ourselves up and label ourselves as failures. And, you know, just basically, that's when we want to give up. That's when we want to just throw in the towel on that. So how do you, I guess, manage the fact that a lot of goals are emotionally driven? Like, your life mission statement is how you want your life to be, which is, there's an emotional component to that, versus developing habits and processes that are logical.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think there's two parts to it. So what I try to do, and it's not always easy, but so my daughter plays tennis and I grew up playing tennis, and there's a book called The Inner Game of Tennis. And in it, he talks about how when we play a sport, there are two versions of ourself. He calls them self one and self two. And I don't remember actually which one is which, but I'm just going to say self one is the athletic physical self who knows how to hit a great forehand and knows how to hit a great shot and knows how to serve. Self two is the judgmental part who's constantly evaluating how we're doing. And so he talks in this book about, you know, players' tendency to choke or to do poorly in high stress moments, because we start listening to self two, who's like, oh, wait, do you even remember how to hit a forehand? What is a forehand? What game are you playing? You don't know how to do this. You know, you just totally hit a ball out. You're a terrible tennis player. There's no way you're going to make this next shot. So what he talks about in the book is just when you're in the midst of it, you got to ignore self two, because your body already knows what to do. You already know how to do it. You have to ignore self two and save the judgment for later. So what you need to focus your brain on is, oh, look, I hit that ball out. Isn't that interesting? And then move on. And I found that so applicable to life, parenting, motherhood, marriage. Oh, wow, I just lost my temper with my kids. Oh, wow, I just wrote a really lousy blog post. Isn't that interesting? But refraining from the judgment part, refraining from the self-criticism. And I think when we can just acknowledge something that didn't go well, as opposed to judging it, we're able to move past it a little bit more easily.
I love that. And I think that that actually falls right in line with what we've been talking about, which is the process and developing habits. I think that that's another habit that we can work on, is just sort of dismissing the judgment part while acknowledging the thing that didn't go the way that we wanted it to. So you talk about habits a lot. That's something I think that you're very passionate about. You wrote a book about it, developing a life-giving morning habit and routine. And so what are your thoughts on, or what can you share with us about good ways to go about developing the habits we really want?
Yeah, I think the, a great way to go about habits or goals or anything is, one, keep it simple and keep it small. And then two, just keep it in front of you. Don't give up. Don't quit. There's a quote that says, the only difference between a master and a beginner is that the master has failed more times than the beginner has even tried. So,
oh, love that.
Right? Isn't that so good?
So good.
So if you want to build a habit, or if you want to reach a goal, just keep it small and simple. And I'm going to qualify. There's a place for big dreams and big goals, and I'm all about that. But when that begins to overwhelm us, when we're just really trying to get started and get momentum, then I think there is a place for small, really simple goals so that we can get that quick win, and we can start identifying ourselves and labeling ourselves as the people that we're hoping to be. So if I'm trying to build a habit and I want to be somebody who exercises every day, maybe I'll do one squat. Hey, I exercised today. That is one squat that I did that I didn't do yesterday. I exercised today. And as we do those small things, we begin to identify as the people that we want to be. Like my daughter, when she was in sixth grade, she played tennis. She was a tennis player. Maybe she didn't play like Roger Federer, but she was still a tennis player. And as she labeled herself that, and as she was passionate about it, she grew and became a better and better tennis player. And so I think it's the same with us as writers, as speakers, whatever it is that we're doing. The more we can kind of build the small, simple habits and grow in our confidence in those labels. Like, I write every day. I'm a writer. I think that's really important. So just make your habit, whatever your goal is, really simple and really doable, and grow it from there. And then just keeping it in front of you and remembering it every single day.
I think that this is so great because, and this is one of those things that I think is so genius about you, is that it's one of those things that's pretty simple, which is you begin to label yourself in a positive way instead of a negative way. But it's something that we just need somebody else to tell us because it doesn't come naturally. I think we're so used to labeling ourselves as, I didn't do enough. I wasn't enough for my husband. I didn't get this, all these errands done. Whatever. We tend to just focus on the things we didn't do instead of the things we did. And I can tell you, I'm going to start doing one squat a day and saying, I exercised. So there.
Somehow we think that being hard on ourselves moves us forward, but it actually doesn't. And, it's so interesting. God talks about that all the time in scripture, grace, 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 grace. And I love the Beth Moore quote that says, grace sees us like we already are what we fear we'll never become. Oh. And there was this study done. It's often called the donut study, where they had a group of women who were all on some sort of diet come into the lab, and they said, okay, hey, we need you to eat one donut. And there was half of the group ate the donut, and then they moved on to the next room. And in the next room, they had a bowl of candy. And while they were waiting for something, I think a test to be returned or something, the study leaders or the study scientists said, okay, you can eat as much of this candy as you want to while you're waiting. So one half of the group, they just did that. They said, we need you to eat this donut, and then it's for science or whatever. And then when they went to the next room, then they said, you can eat as much candy as you want to while you wait for our results. Then the other half of the group, they said, hey, we need you to eat this donut. I know that you're really trying to be careful about what you eat, But it's so important that you give yourself grace, because this is for science and this is going to help people. So don't be hard on yourself that you ate this donut. And so they told them that. And then they went to the next room and told them the same thing. You can eat as much candy while you wait. The people that were given that kind of phrase of grace ate 40% less candy in that next room than the control group that, you know, just ate the donut and went to the next room. So the heart of that study and like kind of the summary that the scientists got from it was just that when we give ourselves grace, we make better choices than when we make a decision we don't like, and then we're hard on ourselves, and then we guilt eat or we guilt, you know, Netflix binge, whatever. When we actually show ourselves grace, like God shows us grace, it frees us up to move forward more than being hard on ourselves does. And I just loved that. It's like scientific evidence of what God already said.
That's so cool. I haven't heard that donut study thing before. I think that that's really neat. I'm going to try and find that and put a link to that in the show notes, because I just think that that's really powerful. So we've talked about kind of the mission statements and developing processes and developing habits. But like I said, sort of at the beginning, is you are really one of the most organized people that I know, and you do have some really great processes in place. So I was just wondering, like, what kind of systems do you use? And, you know, like, are there apps or something that you use that you really love that you feel like kind of help you in your vision of developing your processes and habits?
You know, I love a good app just like everybody. But honestly, the easiest thing for me is just to have either OneNote on my computer, which is what I do right now. But in the past, I've had just a notebook. And I just make sure that I review this note, whether it's paper or online, every single day. And at the top, it has my mission statement. Underneath that, it has the daily things that I want to do. And then it has my plan for the day. One thing that I will say is I try to do, I focus on three things for the year, three things for the month, three things for the week, three things for the day. And that's it. So I don't overwhelm myself with all of these things I could do. I have a list of all the things that I could do, but I only move three things over at a time. And that just helps me to focus a little bit. And right now I just use it in Evernote. I've used it in Apple Notes, but it's super simple, nothing fancy, nothing complicated, just making sure that I look at it all the time. Because what I found is I found really great like to-do list apps or planning apps that I use until I get overwhelmed. And then I abandon it for another solution. When in reality, all I needed to do was kind of push through that discomfort of overwhelm, get rid of some of the stuff on the list, and keep looking at that one list until I'm really moving forward towards whatever goals I've set or whatever mission I have.
I couldn't love this more. I feel like I'm a broken record because I keep saying I just love this. I love this. But like I feel so inspired, you know, to go and do some of these things myself. And you had mentioned that to me before, and I thought that that was really outstanding. And so we talked about you doing a little screencast that we can attach to the show notes of this podcast of what that one note that you use that you review every day looks like.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. I feel like it'll make a lot of what I've said make a lot more sense because, you know, you're not looking at the key performance indicators that I have or whatnot. And if I really, you know, I want everybody to walk away with something super actionable. So if anything, I would just say, write out the four areas of your life, faith, family, if that's applicable, fitness, and focus. Write down maybe just one word in each area that you want to define you at some point in the future, at the end of your life, whatever. And then maybe brainstorm just three things you can do in each of those areas on a daily basis. And then just every day pick three tasks that you need to do that move you towards that. And that's a good place to start. If you're not sure where to start, if you feel like you might get overwhelmed in the whole planning part and then just never make any progress beyond sitting down to set goals and then you never set them. And I know I've done that before. Just pick those four areas of your life. Write down one word that you want to define you. Write down a few things you can do daily to move towards those. And then just pick three things to do every day that's going to move you forward. And then, of course, I will do that screencast so you can kind of see visually what I mean.
I think visuals help so much. At least they help for me. So thank you for doing that. I can't wait to see it. And I love this advice about just breaking it down, keeping it simple. and giving yourselves permission to kind of not do the things that don't work for you, giving yourselves grace for the things that you feel like maybe you didn't do well enough, and focus more on the habits than on getting the to-do list accomplished. I think all of this is so great, and I'm just so excited about what this can do to change how we as women get things done. I love it.
Well, and I can't wait to see what people do. You know, I hope that you'll walk away from this episode and think, okay, it doesn't need to be a big complex thing. I don't need a special tool. I don't need, you know, any certain thing. I just need some vision, some daily habits, and something to do every day. And I can really make progress just with those simple things.
That's so great. Okay, so I like to ask everybody that I am chatting with, because technology changes all the time and new tools are constantly cropping up, what are you just loving these days and what are you a little bit over?
I'm loving Evernote, which I've previously been over, but I love it just because it's pretty simple and I can share it with my assistant. So I have kind of our to-do list in Evernote. It's just all in one place. I'm liking simplicity. So I would use Apple Notes if my assistant was on Apple products, but she's not. And so I'm using Evernote. So Whatever you have, use it. But I'm liking just the simplicity of keeping everything I do in a notes app instead of, I've used complicated project management things and that I just ended up swimming in those. So just keeping it simple in a notes app, definitely loving that. For those writers out there, I'm really loving my new Ninja coffee maker that I got for Christmas.
Oh,
it's kind of like, it's got the simplicity of a Keurig without having to have pods and stuff. So you can just make one cup at a time, either with the built-in filter or just like a little cone filter. And you can make all kinds of different brews. It has a built-in frother. So my kids have enjoyed making steamers. I'm really enjoying my coffee maker.
All right. Coffee makers unite. I love it.
And so, yeah, then I guess I would say I'm over project management apps right now.
I hear you. I mean, I think they're all so great. And I really love the ones that are colorful. But gosh, they can get overwhelming.
Yes. And I tend to overcomplicate things with all my different ideas. And I think I need to save all my different ideas. Having it simple in one note or a couple notes forces me to keep it minimal, which is helpful for me to move forward. So it's all about knowing you.
So like the word of the year is minimalism.
For me, or you're saying, is that?
Well, I'm just kind of saying like the trend that we all need to adopt, minimalism.
You know, with so much input and so much information coming at us all the time, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so Kat, the last question that I want to ask you is the Declare conference is going to be happening again in the fall, and we've announced our theme of getting your hopes up. And so I'm just wondering, what are you getting your hopes up about?
I am getting my hopes up about my family, just a renewed sense of vision for my marriage and my family, especially with my oldest daughter. Next year will be her last year at home. Sob, sob. You understand, I know.
I've done it. And, you know, honestly, you're going to sob for a day and then you're going to be like, wow, this is kind of cool, actually.
Well, here's my secret thing. Anybody who wants to fund us, she really wants to go to Baylor, which would be awesome because that means she'd be here in town.
Sure.
So, you know, any Baylor benefactors who want to fund a child to go to Baylor, then you know, just give me a call.
Okay.
But yeah, so if she did end up going to Baylor, that would be awesome. That's my secret dream that will happen. So she'll still be around and not in some far flung place.
It's so nice that you like your teenager.
I do. I like them so much. They're so fun. And
I like mine too.
Yeah. I really have enjoyed the teenagers. Not that they're not without challenge and drama and all that sort of stuff. Not that it's any easier than having toddlers, but it's just fun. I like it.
I agree.
And so I'm getting my hopes up about my family. And then we've launched, kind of beta launched, and are in the process of launching a Hello Mornings Academy that's really all about how to build that morning routine with a focus on habits and goal setting and living out the purpose that God has called you to. And so we're in the beta phase right now, but it's been absolutely my jam to be able to focus on this core group of women and really see them move forward, watch them be accountable to one another, watch them learn. And I have my hopes up so high for this coming year, because I've realized that's really what I like. I love serving a focus group of women and really watching them make progress and move forward. So I'm super excited about that.
That's really exciting. Do you have any information about that on your Hello Mornings website?
Maybe I will by the time this goes live. Maybe go to hellomornings.org/academy and there might be like a waitlist email or a page that talks about it or something. But we're still in beta. We want to make sure that just all the courses that we have lined up and all the information that we have is really going to be helpful before we launch it to people in general. So,
okay, great. Well, I'm going to go ahead and put a link to your website in our show notes. And so I want to encourage our listeners who are interested in that, go to the website, sign up for the emails, because I'm sure she is organized enough to send an email when that academy goes live. So definitely bookmark that in your web files and check back with it regularly.
Awesome. That'd be great.
Yeah. Well, Kat, I just really can't thank you enough for coming on and talking to us about just kicking off our years correctly or the best way that we can by getting our minds right about the way that we're setting goals. Thank you so much for sharing all of your hard-won wisdom. Your just way that you bring it to us and make it all so simple. I'm just so grateful.
Yeah, absolutely. It's my pleasure. And I just really want to encourage everybody listening that you have no idea what God has for you this year. It could be so much bigger than you might be thinking. It could be so much more. It could be so different. It could be amazing. And so I just really hope that you will listen to this episode and not feel overwhelmed by goals, but feel inspired by the hope and possibility of what God might have for you this year.
I could not have said that better myself. Thank you so much, Kat. And we are looking forward to hearing more from you in the coming year.
All right. Thanks, Anne.
I hope that you can see why I adore Kat. She is truly gifted at taking something that could be complex and overwhelming and making it easy and effective. You can keep the inspiration going when you grab her book, Hello Mornings, and get on her email list on her website. I've got all the links conveniently in the show notes, in your email, or at wearedeclare.com. Also, let us know what you think about this episode. Did you have a favorite quote or an action item that you're planning to implement today? Send an email to info@wearedeclare.com or leave us a review on iTunes. Want even more Declare resources and to connect with other women in the industry? Join our Facebook community for tips, resources, and encouraging friendship that's going to help you as you grow your influence. We are your people, so I'll see you over there. For all things Declare, head to wearedeclare.com. You're going to find information about our podcast episodes and guests, as well as stuff about the conference, our online webinars, local meetups, and more. While you're there, sign up for the email so you can be the first to hear big announcements. And be sure to follow us on Instagram and tag us all the time. I will be looking for your screenshot of today's episode. And don't forget, please, to share the podcast with your influencer friends. After all, we are all in this together. We hope every episode of the Declare podcast inspires and encourages you. Thank you so much for always listening, and we'll see you next time on the Declare podcast.